From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Maloney. I'm joined today by Gerardo Guerrero, the head consul for the Consulate of Mexico in St. Paul. Gerardo, thank you so much for being with me. So this season, we are going to be looking at this new economy that has been created due to the pandemic, new business norms, new operations that will be long lasting in these the post-pandemic world we find ourselves in. However, I wanted to start by asking you, are there new personal norms that you started during the pandemic that you would like to carry with you in this post-pandemic climate? Any new hobbies or interests or technologies?
I think life has changed for everybody, not just for me. And, you know, I think that after the pandemic, I became like more disciplined, even for my personal life or working, for example, because, you know, actually a lot of things are like this. But for example, like Zoom, we had to do a lot of homework. Home office, for example, and you need to, well, you know, I don't know, maybe for Americans it's not the same, but Mexicans, for example, are not very used to do home office. So we had like really to, you know, be like very disciplined to do your job in at home. And also, you know, I realized that I used to do things that were very normal for me, that I gave that as granted. Naturally granted, but you know, once after we had to be locked at our houses, it's like, for example, I realized, for example, how important is reading. You know, for example, I love to read, so you know, I spent hours and hours reading, for example, and also I read a lot of things that I didn't have time before to read. So you know, I realized, you know, that it's not if you are locked at home that you are going to be like boring, or you know, it's like, you know, desperate because you are at home. You have a lot of things to do at home. Fortunately, now we had Netflix, for example. So you know, that's a great source of entertainment for everybody.
Yes,
so you know, I was capable to learn that you can enjoy time even in hard times. And I really want to keep that. I want to keep positive because, you know, this has not end. This keeps going. And we need to learn a new way of life.
When people think about Minnesota, the Mexican community might not be top of mind, but despite there being 100 years of history between the two areas and 300,000 people strong, from your perspective, what needs to change in the future to increase visibility and profile of the Mexican community within the region?
You know, I think that we need to be more vocal about the contributions of the Mexican community in Minnesota. As you mentioned, in Minnesota, there are about 300,000 people of Latin origin, and of those, 80% are of Mexican origin. So we need to be like more vocal, you know, about the contributions of, you know, the Mexican community. You know that Minnesota is a place that received more Somalis, Somalis refugees in the world. And in Minnesota, they have like an infrastructure and they have a lot of programs for these people. The Minnesotan authorities, for example, recognize the contributions of the Mexican community to the economy of the state, but not just to the economy of the states, to many other things. But they haven't done enough, you know, to have public policies, long-term public policies for these communities. And the pandemic, 2020 was like a watershed. It was, you know, like, you know, that we realized that we really needed to, you know, start working in public policies for this community. Building the systems that support immigrant entrepreneurs is important to the development of the state's current and future economy. And I'm just going to mention some facts just to, you know, exemplify why it's important, the contributions of the Mexican community. For example, about 70% of people that are in age to work, they are employed And for example, they have an average income of $40,000 per year. Mm. So this contributes a lot to the Minnesotan economy because they have a very important economical power. As consumers, as entrepreneurs, as taxpayers, for example. So, you know, that's very important. Mm-hmm. Also, for example, you know, small entrepreneurs have been raising. Actually, for example, in the last year, we have 60% more new Mexican entrepreneurs that finally they generate employees for the state. And also, for example, people of Mexican origin pay $23 million just in rents.
Wow.
So, you know, they really contribute, you know, to the economy of the state. And we need to be more vocal about that. In 2020, after the pandemic, I started working with different groups, with different, nonprofit organizations that work with Latino communities. And we realized how important it is that we need to encourage authorities in order, not just it's very good. And, you know, when I was posted as consul of Mexico, one thing that really impressed me of Minnesota is that they have something that is very valuable for them, that is inclusion, diversity. And, you know, I really admire them because they are like very welcoming for immigrants. And, you know, and I'm really celebrate that they have built these policies for some communities like the Somali or the Hmong community, but we need to keep working in order to do the same for, other communities as Mexican or Latino communities. So that's really, really important, that I think that we need to keep working on that. I already talked about this with authorities, with the governor, with some commissioners, you know, telling them is necessary because finally they recognize the contribution of the Mexican community to the state. You know that in 2020, even President Trump admitted that Mexican workers were essential because they kept working in agriculture, in the agricultural field. They kept working in meatpacking industry, you know. So thanks to those people, we had food in our tables. And we need to be fair and recognize that.
Yes, the economic impact is impressing. And while there may be four or five Mexican companies present in Minnesota, there are 35 companies from Minnesota that have been in operations in Mexico. What do you believe are the primary factors that led to this imbalance, being that there's so few Mexican companies in Minnesota, but more Minnesota companies in Mexico? And how can we address that imbalance together?
You know, I think that Minnesotans were very smart and they took very good advantage of free trade because since 1993, the trade between Mexico and Minnesota really increase a lot. Mm. And a lot of companies, were to establish to Mexico. But you have companies that have been in Mexico for many, many years. For example, 3M has been in Mexico for more than 70 years, for example. It's not something new. And, you know, you have in Mexico Medtronic, you have Ecolab, you have, Cargill. You have a lot of companies. But, you know, I think that in Mexico, what we have missed is our entrepreneur people needs to be educated. Mm. Minnesota is like, geographically, Minnesota is very far away from Mexico. Yes. We are very north. For Minnesotan people, it's like they are more used to their relationship with Canada because they are border to border. So everything is like, you know, very natural. And for Mexico, the entrepreneur people see Minnesota that is like very far away.
Yes.
But we need to educate people in order to let them know that they have investment opportunities in Minnesota. And that's very important. For example, and I think that we need to take advantage now. We took advantage of the old NAFTA, and now we need to take advantage of the new USMCA because this brings new opportunities for everybody. Big companies like those that I already mentioned, Cargill, or even Mexican companies here in Minnesota, like La Costeña, or even Herdez, you know, mm-hmm. they are big and they have enough infrastructure. Mm-hmm. to establish wherever they want. But we need to keep working with small and medium-sized enterprises. And that is something important because, you know, the negotiators of the new USMCA, they really contemplated this. And they included a chapter, which is the 25th chapter in the USMCA, that focus on, small and medium-sized enterprises. And we really need to exploit that. For example, in Rochester, Minnesota, medium and small sizes enterprises is very important. And we really need to teach, to educate our entrepreneurs that they are going to have opportunities in Minnesota. We need to do that. And we need to focus in other sectors because this is something that is also contemplated in the USMCA, is we need to support the infrastructure for small and medium-sized enterprises, but also we need to, to focus in different sectors. For example, these kind of businesses that are owned for women, for example, for youth people, for businesses that are located in the big cities, but also in the rural cities. And we are going to have a lot of opportunities. The USMCA has been enforced just for 1 year, so it's like a very young agreement. Mm-hmm. NAFTA was enforced for more than 25 years. So we still have a very long path away. But we need to, in Mexico, I think that we really need to educate our entrepreneurs about the opportunities that Minnesota offers.
And as we close out 2021, what are the priorities for the Consulate of Mexico in St. Paul?
Well, this is a very good question. And I'm going to just make like a brief resume of things. When I was posted here in Minnesota, in one of my first interviews, I was asked, this is a very young consulate. We opened in 2005. So we have been open just for 16 years. I am the fourth consul. And someone asked me, the second consul, her priority was education. Mm. The next consul, his priority was culture. What is going to be your priority? And, I think that depends of the personality of the circumstances that each consul live. For example, I am a lawyer. Nobody is perfect. So I am like more technician. So, I know education and culture is very important, is part of our job. But first of all, we need to take into consideration that the main purpose of a consulate and most importantly, being in the United States, the main purpose of the consulate is to be close of our community, to serve our community. And in my case specifically, it was a great experience. But, I had like very specific, special circumstances. For example, we lived the elections in 2016. So in 2017, when we had the new administration, it was chaotic for the community. So we needed to work very close with the community. We had to work very close with the community, teaching them what their rights were in case they might be detained, what to do in case they were deported. And we spent a lot of time working with the community. Then we had 2020 with the pandemic. So we need to focus our forces, our efforts in other kind of things. This depends on what is the future of this. Well, first of all, in the last years, we have strengthened a lot the relationship. Not just, we have worked a lot with the community, but we have strengthened a lot our relationship with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. In 2015, the then governor visited Mexico. I have received here in Minnesota by Deputy Secretary of Foreign Affairs. Last year, I had our ambassador in D.C. So we have strengthened our political relationship, our economical relationship. And I have to tell you something. I am at the end of my tenure as Consul of Mexico in St. Paul. I'm leaving the office at the end of August. So in September, for sure, I will have a successor. And of course, he's going to have his own interests, but I think that he needs to keep working on these challenges, on strengthening the relationship with the Minnesota government, with authorities, with business people. And, you know, I think that he needs to do that, but he will have other kind of, you know, personal things that he would like to develop.
Well, thank you again. That was Gerardo Guerrero, the head consul for the Consulate of Mexico in St. Paul. My name is Abby Malone. Thank you again, Gerardo. You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.